York. This is Democracy Now!
Donald Trump is going to be in Atlanta sometime in the next few days for his arraignment and a mugshot. And he'll be out on $200,000 of bond, which is great for him because he's got the money. But a lot of people in this town can't make a $5,000 bond, and some of them die in jail because of it.
Donald Trump's bond has been set at $200,000 in Georgia, where he faces charges for running a criminal enterprise to overturn the 2020 election. He'll surrender Thursday. We'll speak to Atlanta reporter George Chitty, who was subpoenaed to testify to the Fulton County grand jury about stumbling on a meeting of fake electors and being thrown out. Then to South Africa, where a major summit of the BRICS nations is getting underway.
This BRICS summit is particularly important as it is being held as the world is confronted by fundamental challenges that are bound to determine the course of international events for years to come.
And then to Ecuador, where voters have passed an historic referendum to block oil extraction in Amazon's Yosemite National Park.
Community is a community that has been suffering from the oil industry since before I was even born. And that is the reality of many, many indigenous and Amazonian communities in Ecuador and in the other Amazonian countries.
We'll speak with Ecuadorian indigenous leader Elena Gualenga. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Biden visited the fire-devastated Hawaiian island of Maui Monday, pledging federal support for rebuilding efforts. Biden's visit came as the death toll from this month's fire in the historic town of Lahaina rose to 115, with more than 800 people still missing.
But I also want all of you to know the country grieves with you, stands with you, and will do everything possible to help you recover, rebuild, and respect culture and traditions when the rebuilding takes place.
Climate groups are calling on Biden to declare a climate emergency in the wake of the Maui fires to protect survivors from predatory land grabs. Kaniela Ng, national director of the Green New Deal Network and a native Hawaiian from Maui, said, quote, "I hope President Biden will protect displaced residents from the disaster capitalists seeking to profit off their grief by instituting a moratorium on foreclosures and subsidizing mortgage and rent payments for at least a year," he said. Meanwhile, the National Weather Service has issued excessive heat warnings from Texas to Illinois, where the heat index in Chicago could top 115 degrees Fahrenheit this week. On Monday, Democrats on the House Oversight Committee called for a federal investigation into conditions at prisons during this summer's unprecedented heat wave. In Texas, where most prison cells lack air conditioning, at least 41 prisoners have died of heart-related or undetermined causes so far this year. In Russia, at least two people were injured Monday as Russian air defense systems shot down four Ukrainian drones near Moscow. The attacks prompted officials at Moscow's four main airports to suspend air traffic, canceling dozens of flights. Elsewhere, a Ukrainian drone struck and heavily damaged a Russian supersonic bomber at an airbase south of St. Petersburg. Meanwhile, the governments of Denmark and the Netherlands have pledged to give U.S.-made F-16 fighter jets to Ukraine after the Biden administration recently gave approval to the transfers. On Monday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky traveled to Copenhagen, where he spoke outside the parliament to a large crowd of supporters.
Dear friends, today we are confident that Russia will lose this war.
Zelensky's trip comes as the New York Times reports the total number of Ukrainian and Russian troops killed or wounded in the 18 months since Russia invaded is nearing 500,000, a figure that does not include civilian deaths and injuries. The Times cited unnamed U.S. officials for the figures, which estimate 120,000 Russian troop deaths
FM
and 70,000 Ukrainian.
Amy Goodman's talking about Russia, but we're back in good old USA here on the Work FM 93.9, Richmond, Chesterfield, and Ryko Gutchel in Hanover, and coming to you today on YouTube, and we're usually on Facebook. We had a glitch that we didn't get to work out where the account was signed off magically, and we can't get back on right this minute, but we're out here on 93.9 within a 30-mile radius, which has been enhanced magically by some type of weather formation that Ron can explain later. And so today we have with us Mr. Eric Hawkins Jr.
Howdy.
And we're going to pop him in here, and we're going to go live to the YouTube as well in a second here. Let's move that camera over, if you don't mind. Eric on here. Okay.
Yeah, Keith.
There he is.
A little mic check, mic check.
Maybe you can get two for one.
How to do.
Let me hear you again. Check the mic real
check.
Quick.
Check. Microphone check. Check 1, 2. Oh.
There you are.
Tuning in to the WRKFM 93.9.
And there's me. Hello. We're a little dark in here. Ron's going to adjust the lighting and the camera. Oh. We are all, well, better. Put that one on, too. That'd be great. But,
make sure you capture my natural glow.
Yes. You see there's a glow on our sign in the background. And we're getting there. We're getting better.
Yeah.
Every day. Every hour and minute. And
the real problem is we need a green screen behind us.
Right.
Because that way you don't get the reflected light. White is a terrible background because then it washes out whatever's in front of it. Green is like 50% reflection. We have to get that. In fact, it's on our shopping list. In fact, if somebody wants to send us a large piece of appropriately green cloth, we'll put it back here, put our sign on top, of course, so we can actually give people their best possible shake.
Right, right.
You all deserve it. We get a kick out of the number and amount of creative energy going into just everyday life. There's so many people. And music and anything that gives you meaning changes your life. We really like to offer that to folks because that's people who have meaning in their lives don't get into alternatives like staying stoned or going to the heavy drug use or whatever, you know.
Yeah, sense of purpose does allow you to dictate a path that is not easily distractible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one might not veer into political football games or stuff like that.
Shoot, I'm barely into football games most of the time.
Let alone political football games.
I played football.
Did you?
Yeah. You see how big I am? You know how much peer pressure I got to be on the football team?
I bet. Just carry the ball. Nobody can stop you.
Funnily enough, they did put me at defensive end for a little while because I had good ankles.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So I did have to touch that ball.
You could take off with that ball.
Yeah, I had a 4.6 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad for a lineman. I can move a little bit.
You're not expected to have the motion behind you. You're more like a wall, right?
Yeah. Michael Orr all day blindside.
Right. Right. So you had some adoptive parents, kind of rednecky country parents, and put you in that. Had a tutor.
That's right. That's a famous story. Just popped up. Yeah. I was.
Kathy Bates was his tutor.
Oh, really?
No, that's in the movie.
Well, part of that story that got so famous, huh?
Yeah, I actually heard that.
Did you?
He sued the family because they forced him to sign a conservatorship when he was in high school. Michael Orr. So.
I heard something about that, yeah.
That is pretty grimy, I won't lie. Right. But think of it, you put a little positive spin.
Right.
They saw the potential in this man.
Yeah, right.
To be a great NFL star.
Yeah.
And wanted to lock it in as soon as possible. That's the worst way to do it, I'll definitely say that. But, you know, they saw something in him.
Well, that's something. That's something.
You got to have compassion and empathy and see all the sides of stuff because, you know, as at least in the movie, they were saying, you know, he came from a very bad background, a addicted mother, abusive family, a gang background, and all that, and he was sitting there in a laundromat alone washing his clothes, and Miss Tui came up and said, "Let me help you." And they did. Actually, I kind of would crack a tear when I'd see some of those scenes in the movie there. Like,
yeah, but they should have translated it to "Let me own you."
Right. Yeah. Yes. Can I pimp you?
Yeah, yeah. So we're here. So, Eric, what else do you got to say for our zillions of fans out there? Right now we have zero of them watching. But
yeah. Well, hidey-ho, fellows.
The secret majority.
It's, yeah, nice to, it's nice to be here. It's nice to be on a platform that cares about the creative process and allowing for an environment to be fostered for a creative process. Like,
I just found an error. Sorry, folks. Minor error on my part.
Oh, yeah.
I had muted the mic. So, the whole probably thing here.
No,
wonderful.
I heard you.
Lee texted and said he couldn't hear me, but he could hear you guys.
Great.
Hopefully he'll let us know, hey, that's much better. At least on the stream. On the radio, it's probably groovy, but on the stream, we had a snafu there. So glad you're bearing with us, or maybe you tuned out already. You're like, this is so unprofessional. I can't listen to that. But we're here. We're here, and we're here. And
then get used to it.
Yes. Yes. I was thinking of another saying, which
we
I
ain't
can't
going away.
Say.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But doesn't apply in this case for myself.
It actually does apply for me. I can get away with it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But, yeah, that's okay.
Yes. Oh, your previous story makes a little more sense before we came on air now.
Oh, like, I got stories for you, buddy.
So you said you were from Hampton Roads area.
So, yeah. All right. So, yeah, I guess let's do the breakdown.
Yeah.
So I was born in Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a large majority of my childhood on my great-grandfather's hog farm. But I also spent a lot of my childhood over on the Eastern Shore in Cape Charles. My parents would cart my sister and I back and forth almost every weekend, going to the beach and staying out there every once in a while. It got to the point where they eventually bought some property. And they, funnily enough, that we're inside of a repurposed hotel. They bought a Swedish auto court that had been abandoned for maybe 20 some odd years.
Wow.
And they have refurbished and remodeled it into a tiny home village. It's called Cape Charles Tiny Living, LIVIN.
I love it.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
That has been on my mother's vision board for over 15 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
She's a very purpose driven woman. One of the she would say to me all the time as a child, focus.
Mm-hmm.
Focus. Just like that.
Focus. Yeah.
No, focus.
Focus. In a very focused way.
Being the king of 51-year-old guy dad jokes, my family would say that, but that's because I had glasses. So.
Oh, nice.
Focus, Roger. Focus. I'm like, I need better glasses.
Turn on the night vision.
Focus. Get some contacts. Context. But anyway, you know, we joke here, but we're having a grand old time. This is very serious.
You know, in very serious, in a very serious manner,
right?
When it comes to the origin of a musician.
Right.
Sometimes I believe the power of embellishment should be utilized because you know it has been. Like, there's only so many people in this world that, you know, lost the farm.
Right.
And had to, you know, hump and shuck from Mississippi to Idaho, sleeping in motels and the back of buses and whatnot. And as much as I would love to have actually done that in my life, sometimes it just makes a cooler story to, you know, just lie to them a little bit.
Yeah, exaggerate, make it more interesting, you know.
It does always... It does help, though, to have some level of legitimacy to speak to, because I am one of the few people that can say that my family lost the farm. And I remember I tried auditioning for The Voice.
Oh wow!
And I didn't get on, mainly because my Wi-Fi went out as I was uploading the video, so it just didn't even matter. And it was like the last 40 seconds for the upload window too, so I was just out of luck. But someone told me that they made it on the show, and they performed and they did wonderful. And I even heard the music that he had put out. He was like a 65-some-odd-year-old man, had a beautiful voice. And he told me that he was kicked off of The Voice because he didn't have a sob story.
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't have any sort of a traumatic event to use as the catalyst for why he was there.
So he really needed that energy of, the sob story.
We're bringing it to you first here, folks. If you're auditioning for The Voice,
get your sob story straight.
Create that sob story. Get the fake tears out.
Come here and have a winning story.
Right? Have a winning story. But, I mean, that's something. I mean, there's one guy I know, Sid Kingsley. From Richmond was on The Voice. He made it. It was one of these things. I think it was The Voice several years ago.
It was the hot one.
So it's a formula.
Yeah, nobody cared about America's anything.
Nope. Yeah, that's kind of. I don't watch any of them anymore because honestly, it was like it became more about the host than the talent.
You can tell by the way they play that camera. What's the face in this guy? What's the face in this girl? You know, what's the reaction? It's pretty staged. I get the feeling there's some the sincerity piece that spontaneity brings is lost when you try to force it.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be a lot of good. I'm glad they give people audience. That's really cool.
And you know, to go deeper into it, if you research it online, those people don't get the best contracts. Or deals that you think they get.
Really?
And,
that's a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the other part of that? Hold on. It was pretty good. So they don't get the best contracts. And, well, it's nice that the audience votes for people, but this whole energy, they have hosts that vote, but their votes do not count. So they're always like, everyone is so good.
Wait, what show does that happen on? It's like
I mean, The Voice, they vote to which they get to pick who to be on. And the audition, they get to choose who's on. But now the audience has a way to override that. And then there's a second and third chance. And then can get kicked off, and you get another audience vote chance and a gold ticket. And it just seemed to me that the point was like everyone's so good, according to the host, because they're catering to the audience. And someone like William Hung got on the original American Idol. That was like the first jokeish but popular guy on there. I think he sang some song by whoever it was. You all remember that, probably.
Sounds like a tool to just create tension on the show.
Right, right. Like William Hung.
Artificial drama for people who don't have a real life.
He sang a Ricky Martin song. It was something.
I'm all for variety being the spice of life, but at a certain point, like, I mean, there are genuine moments of tension that can be created. There are genuine moments of drama that can be entertained. And, like, I feel as though they don't have the same gravitas when they actually happen if you have all this hokey stuff mixed through the whole entire process. But what do I know? I'm not a TV executive.
They're entertainment, primarily.
Yeah.
They're a vehicle to drive attendance and to drive ad buys and to drive, as opposed to if we actually had, if you can imagine, an authority that would watch humans and say, this is what they're getting wrong today. Let's help them out. Mm. That authority would give us media that we could use. What we have is media, because we're profit-driven, we'll give somebody a profit. And you don't know why a particular piece of media gets there on your average piece of radio station, TV. But you can always assume that money was the majority of the decision.
Absolutely.
They might have a lot of good ideas involved with money. But whenever you have two masters, there's always a chance that you're going to go awry. I mean, every major religion talks about that. And if you're not religious, every major friend tells you, hey, man, you ain't being cool today.
True that.
You know? Right. I mean, we know. We know what that is. Forget religion. We know.
It's that tribal aspect.
Yeah, there's a good faith, bad faith, and it shows up. And that's, well, I don't want to make it take the point too far, but the whole idea of the station, the work of him, is to help people find the work that actually will work.
Right.
Because long term, humans won't be here if we keep doing stupid stuff. Like we're doing stupid stuff now. It's being reinforced by lots of money. And money keeps saying, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are saying, are you kidding me? Look what's happening. And the adults are saying, I'm glad 13-year-olds don't vote. Because they're going to inherit the crap I leave behind. And
or,
I can,
you know, we'll get to the holy, the heaven kingdom of God one day and the revelation and our life on earth doesn't matter to some people because of those ideas.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, and they'll shield for the most nefarious people. I mean, the governor's trying to get rich people who misuse money and land and people more land than people. How does he get this? Whenever I see a rich Christian, I think, make up your mind.
Ooh, so that's actually a great segue into my entire thesis right now.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
So I have been putting together a band here in Richmond for it's the jazz scene. I'm trying to break into the
cool.
jazz.
Oh, cool. You got to come out and see with that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The name of this band is called Deacon Hawk and his High Flyers.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I actually come from a long line of pastors and ministers. My sister is a priestess in Texas, and she runs her own church.
Oh, wow.
My Uncle Stephen has a church in Norfolk. Even Pastor Al Green. Like, his name is Al Green.
Yeah.
And it's not just, like, not like, like Teddy Pendergrass Al Green pastor. Like, his just name is Al Green.
His name is Al Green.
Yeah. And when I was a child, my sister, Carla, she ordained and prophesied that I would eventually become a pastor myself.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that was always a, that was something I rejected for a long time.
Because
I grew up religious. I grew up Southern Baptist. My mother was a very religious woman. My father was a religious man. But my father, particularly, did not like church. He was of the similar mindset to you. Mm-hmm. If you be a rich Christian, make up your mind.
Right.
And his real issue, and we're gonna get a little hot here. We're gonna get a little topical.
Uh-oh.
Is with black churches.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And funnily enough, it seems like black churches are where a lot of musicians in this Richmond scene migrate to. Mm-hmm. It's not only just a way for them to make a little money, but it's also where they cut their teeth.
Right.
It's like
right.
all of my cousins are 5 times better musicians than I am. And they're all 14, 16, 15, 13.
Yeah.
They've been gone through the breaks ever since they came out the womb. They have. There's very high expectations within black churches to perform. And it's not to perform well. Mm-hmm. It's just to do it. Because, you know, they'll give you time to get better. They're always going to be encouraging and cheering you on. Ain't nobody's going to tell you that you did bad.
No.
But somebody better be up there plucking that bass.
My gosh.
Somebody better be on them drums.
People are up there witnessing their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
And I had always had an issue with being in the church because of the nepotism, because of the favoritism, because of picketism. It's in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I didn't go to church for a long time. I still don't go to church now.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a little Bible app that I keep on my phone. Every time I open the lock screen, it makes me read a Bible verse.
Oh, okay.
So I gotta get it back a little bit, something like that. Yeah. But I'm not a large believer in overt evangelism. And I don't believe that the evangelism that we have in this world today is genuine. Oh, we got a little vibration on it?
I'm sorry. I had my phone on vibrate. And sitting next to the microphone, it just, that's right.
Yeah.
It was not an emergency signal.
Well, that's a little subliminal signal that maybe we have to tell people again we are and who we are and what's going on. So you're listening to the Work FM 93.9. in Chesterfield, Henrico, Richmond, Goochland, Hanover. That's WRWKLPFM.
Woo-hoo.
So glad to have y'all listening and have Howdy folks tuning do. On.
Where's the appealing gallery, Roger?
Oh, that little...
It's over here.
It's good for counterpoint.
The peanut gallery. Ron is calling this. See, we have an applause.
Yay!
There. Quiet down. We have to go back to
some
work.
Some lovely sound effects here you might enjoy, or this one.
Oh, nice.
Fun stuff. We'll just leave that alone.
It's like the Muppets. You remember? It's like Waldorf and... What was the other guy?
Statler, right?
Statler. Waldorf and Statler. Yeah.
I did not know those guys were puppets' names for the longest time.
I didn't either.
I heard that. I was like, who are those guys? And then actually out last night, or Monday. Yeah, last night I was at open mic at the venerable Rare Old Times, and they had these two guys kind of jokingly heckling the people on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a Statler and Waldorf thing. But anywho.
Well, hold on there, because that stuff is funny. That is because, Waldorf Astoria, the hotel, whatever.
Right.
His wife, Astoria,
mm-hmm.
is just Statler in a dress.
Oh,
okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the same Muppet. It's the same puppet.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But anyways, I digress.
Yeah, actually, I've learned to appreciate said place. I've actually written a kind of a song where I was a little critical of their open mic and their restaurant.
Oh dear.
But last night I atoned for it. I mentioned, I do appreciate you guys. It's a fun atmosphere. You go in other places, open mics or bars, they take everything so seriously. You get up. Eric Hawkins is going to come up here with Ron, and they're going to do a great song. It's going to be wonderful. Please clap and pay attention. And this place, they're like, they just kind of joke with each other. Like, someone gets up on stage and says, I'm going to sing this song by Neil Young. Let's keep it that way. When are you going to start playing? Anyway,
but
so
mostly
it's just fun.
It's a sort of loose camaraderie, kind of like high school.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Just like that nitpicking.
Remember the Raz?
Yeah,
yeah.
Hazing,
yeah. Mild, just
alternative.
Like, tighten up. Yeah. I think there's something to be said for people being slightly nervous. I understand that the audience.
Yeah.
It endears them to the audience because when they see them struggling a little bit, that's a try a little harder.
Yeah. Mm.
Sometimes people look too cocky. They're kind of brushed off as.
Oh, totally. Like I had to be careful with myself sometimes because, I know that I can get a little intense when I'm out there in the world, and it's very important for me to kind of sit back on the wall for a little while, because I know that when I get onto that stage, it's mine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm always willing to share.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm never going to tell anybody to get off my stage. You can't share the microphone. Blah, blah, blah. But I'm gonna lay down my law while I'm up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, not be a butthole about it when I get off that stage.
Right.
It's a shtick. It's the thing you do.
Yeah, it's just a persona.
Gets people to respond. Yeah. And,
it is a persona.
Play on ideas and...
People for years would say to me, you're a totally different person on stage. I'm like, are you insulting me there? Yeah. You get up
maybe
there,
you just didn't
totally
know
where
I really
different.
Was.
Yeah.
So what you do is kind of an improv.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Improv, yeah.
There's a lot of times where I will just forget. I will forget whole verses. And being a vocalist, there's no cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't you can do a bad note or two playing on the guitar, but you can lead into it into something else, and then you have jazz. There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But as a vocalist, there's nothing. It's either you're saying words or you're not saying words.
Right.
So when you forget those words, you better start saying some words.
Right. That's right. Better make some up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Either repeat the previous verse or ad lib and something.
Or have something in your back pocket, I suppose.
Rhymes and
I know any Tom Waits fans in here?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs by him is Downtown. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like the second verse is what it's like. Montclair to Havlin. I can't even remember the actual verse. But what I say is Montclair to Havlin in the champagne room.
Right.
It was just Montclair to Havlin doing the Saint Vitus dance. The Saint Vitus dance. It's like some sort of a like think of like 1886 version of having a seizure.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen you remember that. So I will say Montclair to Havlin in the champagne room instead.
Oh, okay.
Because I watched that that Chris Rock music video. There's no sex in the champagne room.
Right.
No, anybody seen that?
No, I haven't seen it.
I saw it once, and now it's forever in my brain associated with that song.
I like Chris Rock. Right. Yeah.
Sorry, I probably should have censored myself for that word. Yeah.
No, that's fine. You can mention it. You still use the 4-7 or whatever it is. Words you can't speak on FCC.
Yes, but... S-E-S
you could dance around
okay
them.
Word.
Dance around.
You could dance around them. In fact, I'd love to do a show sometime on the F word, which of course means frolic, right?
Frolic.
Mm. Or fuddle, or
DTF, down to frolic.
Down to frolic. You got it. Yeah, yeah. Because really, the words, some words are absolutely meaningless, especially when they become invectives. They're just, oh heck, oh heck, darn, confound it. I mean,
dagnabbit.
Through history, we've had a collection.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't have any meaning, so what's the point of what you say? You know?
I mean, a curse word, according to the people in South Park, which are, they're very accurate, I heard. They're saying that it was a word you would say, and if you got caught by your higher power of choice, he would put a curse on you.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Well, a lot of curses are indeed based on, hey, God, come down here and smite this person.
Right, right.
Or smite this toaster, or smite this hammer, or this nail.
Maybe that's the other side of the coin. You were cursing someone and putting a curse on them, or you're saying a curse word out of context. I don't know. I'm not a religious scholar or historian.
I actually got one for you.
Okay. All right.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu, yeah.
That's not the original thing.
Oh.
It's actually sacre dieu, which is sacred God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the original curse.
It's like, God, listen to this infidel. Strike them down.
Yes. Mm. My God. Like God. Like that. Like, so that's the French version of taking the Lord's name in vain. But cleaned it up. Everybody only knows sacre bleu. Which I don't even think is blue in French.
I couldn't add to that knowledge. I'll look it up.
They have blue cheese and,
blue cheese.
Blue cheese. Pronounce it bleh.
Well, I can't say that I hate blue cheese anymore because I actually started liking it in my salads.
Mm,
yeah, that's weird. If you put steak in my salad, I'll eat blue cheese with it.
Mm.
But I mean, if you put steak in my salad, I'll pretty much eat anything else that you put in it.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah. Change a salad.
You could put rutabagas in there. Yeah. I don't care.
Right. Rutabagas.
No, blue apparently has something to do with blue.
It is blue? Sacred blue?
Yeah, something to do with blue.
Wow.
Yeah,
look at that.
Blue cheese, it has a little blue tint to it because of the aging process.
It has a little mold tint to it.
Yes, blue mold.
Disgust.
Yeah. Blue mold.
But that's the flavor. That's the flavor.
Yes. It is. If you look into, say you work at a restaurant and you see how foods are made and prepared and what they're derived from, you might change your diet. So
that's right.
To do that,
if you went to a stockyard, or a hatchery, you might say.
Yeah, I grew up on a hog farm.
That's right.
Right.
That's
like,
right.
I've seen my grandfather take a chicken with take its head like this and just fling it around to a circle until its head popped off and it would just run around in circles.
Yeah. Mm. There was a very famous chicken several years ago that actually lived for, I think, several
months. Oh, yeah, I heard about that. It was like 17 months.
Because they have a lot of ganglion that keeps them right side up and doing the things chickens do. Of course, he couldn't see, so he couldn't peck efficiently, so that he had to be fed manually.
Yeah, like to put in a syringe. What happened to its brain? Is its brain just not that important?
I got that impression, yeah. I see people like that. You know? You wonder.
So the chicken, its head was cut off, and he lived? Is that what we're saying?
A farmer had just chopped this chicken's head off, and the chicken just kept walking around. Probably the chicken had somewhat of an abnormal ganglia. You know, ganglia do a lot of things where they make your legs move. They may do things for you. But usually the brain directs. Right. But I'm guessing when you get to a simpler life form that sometimes the ganglia could, like, hey, take over, you know.
Yeah, we'll just run it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bounce back. It'll grow back.
Talking about headless chickens that live one for 17 months here. You never know.
One wonders what the chicken
here.
Thought about, though, you know. What was the chicken... Was his existential problem?
He was like, I should have stayed on the other side of the road, man.
Oh, yep, yeah. Wow, now I can't see the road. Wow.
And someone's feeding me. Yeah. Can't
How
be that bad.
How was he fed? I was wondering. How did he stay alive for 17 months if he couldn't have a mouth to be fed?
No, he had a hole. He had a hole. I think the farmers kept it clean, kept it open, and he just popped.
Okay.
Let's try another topic. Let's move along.
Yeah, there is a topic of the day, right? Is there like
we should talk about your career, because that sounds a lot more interesting than we wander into. I mean, it's fun to have to shoot the poop, as they say, with people who have imaginations. But we could probably go back to yours, because you got here under some power of your own, and I'm curious how that occurred.
Well, the exact way that it happened was I quit my old band.
Okay.
I quit my old band, and my parents, they own some apartments here in Richmond, and Airbnb laws were changed in the last, I think, the last like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So hotel lobbyists were not having fun with Airbnb in Richmond in the entirety of the Hampton Roads area. That's why they're basically just only on the Eastern Shore now. They do have one property up in Charlottesville.
Right.
But you know, that's the only one left. It was stated that they had to live physically in the residence before they could do Airbnb.
No kidding. Right. Right.
So I took over one of the apartments.
Okay.
And I got a bug in my head. I was like, you know what? I was 25 at the time. Just like I've been doing this music thing for three, four years. And as much as I've had fun following the vision of others and kind of cutting my teeth a little bit on how the process works, how to sign up for BMI, how to get an LLC, how to copyright your music, and how to get your music up on Spotify and CD Baby, all that good stuff. So, all right, let's start at the beginning. When I was 4 years old, I was in the Heavenly Beams in choir, in church.
Sounds delightful.
And as I progressed through my academic career, I participated in all city, all district, and all state choirs. I was in high school, I went to Ocean Lakes, and I was in the Advanced Madrigals program. And we would go to competition every single year and get superior ratings all the time.
Wow.
Like, there was even a music and arts academy at, what was it, at Lance or Salem High School in Virginia Beach. We would beat them out every single year. Like, I knew kids over there, they dirty eye me every single time.
And that was their specialty.
That was their specialty. That's what they went to school for.
The street speaks to us.
You ain't lying.
Yeah, right.
But I eventually fell out of love with music. I thought that, you know, oh, I'm never going to be able to make a living. I'm never going to be able to make any money. I got to find something else, do something else. And I just piddled around until I just backed myself into a corner of despair. This is being just straight honest about it.
Yeah.
I went to Full Sail University for game design, and I flunked out in like two semesters.
Ouch.
Living in Orlando. I was like 18. Wow. Like, my dad was, you're 18. You're gone. Goodbye.
Over to you.
You got to get in. Get it in.
Yeah. Make it work.
And it didn't work. It didn't work that time.
Yeah.
I had to go back home, and I ended up catching some illicit substances charges. Nothing egregious. It's legal now.
It's legal now.
But that ended up causing me to kind of hop around for a while. until I ended up living in Ocean View. Yeah, keep OV sketchy, man.
I know.
It was when I was there.
Oh, it's still sketchy.
It's still sketchy.
It's a crackhead walked up to me and kissed me on the arm while I was living out there. Yeah, it's still sketchy.
We won't get into my Ocean View stories on this show.
Oh, you're going to have to tell me about that after we get down here.
Yep. We'll get to that.
Stay
later,
tuned, folks.
Yeah, line.
Second
Ocean
edition.
View edition. Yeah. But anyway, so. Moving there
allowed me to kind of reset things.
Right.
And I decided that I'm going to be a musician. This is what I want.
So and not a vocalist, but
No. Being, as I see musician as there's vocalists and then there's instrumentalists.
Right.
I wanted to be a musician. Right. I can do both.
Okay.
And I ended up getting up with a band. There were these guys called Crowded Reflections, and we put together a band. It was called Diamonds in the Dirt. We were a psychedelic electric blues band.
Nice. Okay.
They had already had an opportunity at the Whiskey A Go-Go to play, their bassist previously backed out on the last second. Uh-huh. So they got invited back for a second round, and they needed me to learn their stuff and go with them.
Mm-hmm.
We put together an EP. And the guy who actually recorded the songs for us was an engineer for Jimi Hendrix.
Wow.
And he sent that EP over to some friends of his in New York. And we ended up booking another show at the Rainbow Room in the same week.
Wow.
So the Whiskey A Go-Go and the Rainbow Room. And I'm working with a guy that was a literal reincarnation of Jim Morrison. Like
Brent, really?
Yeah. Brent Kearns, he could play. He told me he learned how to play his pentatonic scale by staring at himself in the mirror doing acid for 6 hours. So he was legit.
Yeah.
And then the almighty put down COVID.
Right, yeah.
Squashed all of my rock and roll dreams then and there.
Yeah.
I backed off of things. I got really depressed. I was really down. And I ended up meeting this guy at an open mic. His name was James Dowdy.
Okay.
And he kind of broke me out of my shell a little bit and invited me over to his house. And I had
James
my bass and my amp.
James will be on the show next Thursday.
Yes, he will.
All right.
James Dowdy, put it in the calendar.
Shout out to James.
He is the originator, founder, and front man of the band JD3.
Okay.
Okay, nice.
And he sourced me up and we got together. And I won't tell the origins of that because that's his job and let him have his story.
Yeah,
but we put it together. We put a band. We put an EP together. We got 4 songs on the radio.
Wow.
It was 89.5 Paul Shagrew.
We got
a couple. I'll let him do all the rest. That's his stuff. Yeah. But it felt real to me because I had to come to the idea. I had to come to grips with the fact that it doesn't matter if I get a Hollywood star. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm just here to walk in purpose. I'm just here to actuate the vision of which that I choose to live by and to live in. And I wanted to do something that I loved. And I love music. Music loves me back. And it can be a love-hate relationship. I'm not going to lie to you. There are definitely times we all go through it.
A tough master.
Yeah.
But I got tired of serving 2 masters.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, I served the despair.
Okay.
I served the doubt.
Right.
I lived in the discord of not believing in myself, my own ability, my own capability. And like, I don't see believing in myself like, oh, you got to with your heart of hearts. Not like that. I gave myself no credibility.
Right, right.
I didn't even allow myself to try.
Well, if you could package that, you'd have a change the world. If you could package that up. That's the human. That's the human condition.
You're set up. You change the world. What was
if
that?
If you could package that.
Package that.
If you could get that into a box.
Rambled mumbling there. It's like, package it? What? Okay.
No, I understand what you're saying.
That's the human condition. Yeah, we have to go through that to find what's really going on in our lives. What we can do that nobody else can do.
Yeah.
No, nobody can do it for you.
So we're kicking along here at 6:45. We started probably 10 minutes after 6. Checking the time. We're not in any hurry. I'm not. Ron... Ron might have to use the restroom or do something or get a haircut.
If we didn't restrict ourselves, we'd go on for hours. Sometimes
right.
Sometimes you do, yeah.
No, we did want to hear, you know, if you want some sort of vocalization or poetry reciting something by you there.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. That's all I got for you.
Okay. Thank you. That was awesome.
We can wrap it up. Everybody
Eric
go home.
Eric Hopkins here, Jr.
Did you say Hopkins?
Hawkins. I said I had my own rambling word.
I think I got salad, I got you know, I got a something. I got a thing here.
Hawkins. Everyone.
Not Hawking.
Hawkins Jr. Eric on the work FM.
All right.
Anyway.
You want to? All right, I got something for you. So this is actually a very fitting for what I just talked about. Mm-hmm. It's a poem that I wrote maybe a couple months ago called "Risk Equals Reward," mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure there are no curse words in here. So let's go for it.
You know, say bleep yeah. inappropriate. Yeah.
Gonna try to bleep you out with our noise machine here.
He's just gonna start hitting it for everything. All right, here it is. All right. I am more than just a calculated risk. The numbers have been on my side in stride through life in flow motion, and have lapped gently upon the shores of entropy. Taste the water. And know the salt preserves you twice-fold. Once at high tide, when the water hosts an array of maritime dignitaries, robust in their filigree eminence. Taste the water and know the salt preserves you once more at low tide, when the sand is stained red from the plucking, once fully saturated, yet now calcified carcasses of the bodies deemed unfit for nourishment. Mm-hmm. The bare legs of a scavenger's skin are thick so as not to cut themselves on the broken bones. They think not of the dreams of dead men. I am more than just a calculated risk. I will not bask gleefully in the heat, and think not of the white fangs of death that hide betwixt the waves. With three eyes wide shut, I am no longer lambasted upon the shore. I float expeditiously and with purpose to the sea floor with me and mine, untethered from celestial expectation. The sun nor moon holds power here. I swim with who I choose, and I satiate myself greatly with the nautical fruit. It took a high dive to sink this low, and every day I thank God for the pressure.
Wow, nice.
That's how you make diamonds, nice. Right? Yeah. Pressure.
Yeah. My dad would say that to me every single day.
Really?
Thank God for the pressure.
Yeah. We grow from pressure, yeah. It's commonly misunderstood. I think one of the problems with American culture, you can cut me off in a minute, is that we have it too easy, and we kind of people tend to disnify. The media does that. We disnify things. Even when somebody really, really terrible comes along in politics, we tend to not really confront it. You know, but the world is very exacting and very unforgiving, and being often the Disney version of the world or a McDonaldized version, or however you want to express that we're falling away from the real thing because it's just a bit too tough. The world is tough, and if you're tough, it's fun. And if you're not tough, then you find some alternative, or you're dead in some. And I think those are all problems. It's fun to have a life that's meaningful because you live every day with, as you say with your purpose. In your purpose.
Oh, hey, we have Jay Tubb. Down in here.
We have a guest here. You want a mic?
Pop in if you want to say some.
Come on in. Actually, the water is fine.
Jay, take this. Take this.
I forget who it was. I was somewhere. Maybe it was. I don't remember where.
Nice to meet you.
Where was I? I don't know. Got Eric Hawkins here, Jay Tubb, Ron Skinner. I'm Roger. And I was rambling about a story. What are we doing? Oh, that thing. Okay. Oh.
Up here.
Just for anybody that's wondering and maybe tuning in a little late, this is the WORK, The Work, 93.9.
WRKR?
Whatever those letters are in sequence. This is my compatriot, Roger. Lenin, Stalingrad. And it's our new friend of ours. I believe his name is Fidel Castro.
Yes, comrade.
As he beat down the powers of darkness, which have reemerged.
I had this boring story I was coming up with, but I'll just finish it really quick. And it's so corny. I think I was running an open mic, and I mentioned some guy, and he was. I said, "Could you say a few words?" So he goes, "A few words." Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Nice.
And a bad story, and that get back to real fun stuff.
Thought that
being
was
useful.
Beautiful, actually.
We can Let's be useful.
That,
you know.
Yeah.
That was pithy.
It was the guy.
I can't seem to hear you. I don't hear you.
Oh. You don't hear me?
Where are you?
It's four. I'm four. I'm on four. Can you hear me now? My God.
Okay. What happened? Are you turned on?
I see myself. Check four. Is four up?
Check four.
No, not on the board. Oh,
yeah, he turned it up on the board.
Roger, four goes to the other panel now.
Should the red light be on the board? On four?
No, it's we
hello. Wait, hello. There you go.
There we go.
Hello, we're just rolling along here. He's Ron in the mix now.
It takes a village.
It really does.
There's Ron back in the mix.
Tuning in live to the village.
Eric,
yes.
Jay does a lot of open mic. Stand up, but spoken word.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've had poetry readings mainly.
Yeah.
And I invite people who do poetry and spoken word, but not really since COVID.
Really?
I might do that again.
COVID. You know, my sister, Sylvantria, say that five times fast. She's a slam poet, and she would come up to Richmond all the time when she was younger for the, what was it? TWP, Teens of the Purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know there's I don't know if it's still going. There was a slam poetry, I think, Saturdays in Manchester, but I never quite made it to that.
I think the real hot spot is Addie's. Addie's Ethiopian spot.
That's what I was thinking.
Verses. Yeah, she would go there all the time. I tried getting in there the other night, and it was impossible. You could not sit down.
Wow.
You could not stand anywhere. Yeah. I just had to sit outside on the balcony for about 10 minutes and just sweat my life away.
Whoa,
it was just packed out.
Yeah, I went there once on 17th Street, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Farmer's Market.
Cross.
Yeah,
from,
I was.
From 59.
It was there was a woman named Nikki, who was like an MC or something. It was her last night, so I got to see her perform. That was really good.
Yeah, little cautionary pointer. Jay could get a little closer to that mic there. So
oh.
Can get you on. There he is. Yes.
That's good.
All right, yes.
You were running along
here. Make the needle
here.
Jump.
I have not done spoken word poetry, and I need to quit smoking cigarettes, obviously. When I laugh, I cough. That's fun. That may be a sign that I was tricked by the evil corporations into that culture.
Yes, it is amazing.
A while ago. But, you know, what were we saying? I'm just identifying here. I'm jumping in here. I did stand-up comedy for a while, on and off, and open mics, and what Eric was getting to earlier. I could totally identify with the COVID factor, the whole... self-doubt factors, just like doing music and then thinking this is not fun anymore. So that's when I went into stand-up and I quit being in bands after 15 years, went solo, and I was at open mics and being in bands. Didn't like them, that was not their fault, that was me. So I had to go and reevaluate stuff, and now I write songs. And jam alone with myself mostly, and that works better for everyone involved, I believe. So,
you did pretty. I enjoyed the show. You were at the pool.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun. That was great fun.
With King Sababa.
Yeah,
did I miss?
He was playing keyboards.
I missed a cool thing that happened.
It was awesome. Oh. I appreciate those dudes. That was a great
I miss all the cool stuff, man.
It was a great little thing at the Granite Pool where I got a pool membership, hung out there for a few weeks at that pool, and didn't really have to rehearse, which is groovy, with the group because it was improv, reggae-ish thing happening. And we had a great time. I'm glad to be in that, but if you look me up on rogerkohlermusic.bandcamp.com, you'll see the focus of my music is sarcastic, corny songs about me not wanting to play in bands. So. Bang! Check it out, folks. It's fun. And we're here at the Work FM, WRWKLP 93.9 FM, Work FM, serving Chesterfield, Henrico, Richmond, Goochland, and Hanover. Speak in level tones, easy to hear, understand. And I'm
beautiful.
I cannot say a lot of stuff like the complete sentences, but after being at the Work FM, you get used to saying that little thing. At least I do. So, kind of fun to do that. He can't talk at all, and I tell him like the Microsheens man. The Work FM. So it is 6:57 here, and what's our agenda now? Since we had
top of the hour station ID.
Yeah, I just did that super quickly, but the Work FM, everyone, 93.9.
Community radio, building a bridge. Yes. City to county, left to right, Virginia. Neighbor to neighbor.
And you can call us up, the number, not on the screen fully to Eric's left, but it is up there usually, 804-464-1089. I'm glad to say that our mishap with Facebook Live kind of stopped certain people from tuning in that would be prank calling us nonstop right now. So we miss you guys so much. I love your joke gifts and your comments on YouTube. It's good to have fans of any type.
If you want to prank call me, my phone number is 757-605-8467.
All right. Anyone else want to accept prank calls here? Ron, maybe? Not enough fun in your life?
I'm not poor enough. No, I'm developing new lines for what the marketers that call me up and say, is this Ron Cena? And I say, who? And I drag them out as long as I can.
Yeah, that's kind of a new...
I realize that they're not going to sell me their vacation getaway or whatever.
Yeah. That is kind of a fun, for me, a little hobby where you...
It was like an Eastern European telemarketer, is that one?
I don't know what back then.
He's a Serbian telemarketer.
Hello, is it Ron Skinner? Hello? No.
They get off the phone really fast when I go, what are you wearing?
Oh. Yeah. Or you ask them for money before they can ask you. Or you give them, as Eric put it, a sob story. Oh, I'm sorry. I would help you, but I'm starving here, and I can't feed my dog or kids, and I'm living in the street. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're going to go now. Sorry. We'll call again later, maybe, in a few days, forgetting everything we just heard from you. But I enjoy this. I enjoy hanging out with y'all here at the Work FM.
My face. Yeah. This is what I get for wearing all black.
Uh-oh.
So you can't see me.
Oh, right.
We need that green screen. And
would you believe me if I told you that I was a very light-skinned baby? Like, my dad, both me and my sister were very light-skinned when we were first born. And, like, my birth story is both my sister and my birth, and my our both of our birth stories are awful. But, like, the easiest one I can say here is, like, he wanted to get a paternity test when we both came out at first.
Oh, wow.
Love you, Dad. I was going to reveal all your secrets to
the
nation.
Hey, Dad.
You also have a thing with the sun, right? You get a darker tan. Like, I'm usually white as a...
Oh no! There's a so I have I worked outside my entire life, and there's definitely an effect. Like I used to get really bad heat rashes when I was a kid, and my dad didn't have time for that, so he's keep on working, you'll be fine. It just got to a point where my skin is actually very tight. Like there's not a whole lot of play in it, Mm-hmm. So I guess that kind of just got tough. Yeah. I'm still a huge softie on the. I will cry at the drop of a hat. It doesn't even mean anything. You ever seen Where the Red Fern Grows? Or read the book?
I don't think so.
You put a you kill a dog in front of me, I will cry.
Oh, well, so would I. I mean, yeah, that's.
Yeah, I might cry from that too.
We love the dogs here. We love the dogs. Who doesn't? You know that little thing they'll have on the dating sites? Must love dogs. That's thinking, has this person dated some people that didn't like dogs or. I don't know.
You're allowed to not like dogs.
You must love them, though, apparently.
Some people have too much fear. Right. I mean, I've had the opposite thing where people will tell me that their dog that never is as nice as they are to me, mm-hmm. you know, around strangers, you know, but I'll show up. And it's like people, dogs are really good at sensing your vibe.
Right, yeah. Nope.
Yeah. Dogs and babies.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
They have a sixth sense for danger, you know, mm-hmm. and what's a threat and what's not.
Yeah.
You
can read it. Yep. Yeah. I'm popular with most four-legged animals myself, but there are some. They'll just be from the wrong environment or breeding group, and they'll just come at you.
Sure. Yeah, those Dobermans that were trained by military or German mm-hmm. Shepherd. You know, those that were taught to be weapons are mm-hmm. often scarred for life, and you mm-hmm. know they can't get that programming out of their system.
Right. Right. Or the pit bull. Well, pit bull. Very nice animals in the natural habitat, but. Trained to be angry killer dogs. You know, if they were in the forest hanging out with other wolves, perhaps, I don't know, or you got me there. I don't know what their natural habitat is. I mean, if you raised them and they were nice to the dog,
they used to poke them with sticks.
Right.
They were wolves that smelled what the humans were cooking and decided to be nice so they can get some scraps, and then we kept breeding them until they became poodles.
Right, yes. Right.
Great. And great other, trajectory.
You know, 100 different varieties of dog that are all have wolf DNA somewhere down the line.
Specialized.
Sounds like
it's
getting very close to a
your
make wolves great again conversation.
Yeah. Those wolves, yeah.
It is a good idea to reintroduce wolves. Here on the East Coast, they were pretty wiped out. They started reintroducing them because when the wolves disappeared, coyotes moved in. Mm. And I know when I lived in New England, a couple times our house cat disappeared overnight.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
One time I woke up and I wasn't sure why I woke up, and then I heard like coyotes nipping outside, and it's like, I figured out when the cat didn't come back, they were having their meal of cat.
Yeah. Poor one.
It's serious but funny. I admire the cat feline system better, because the dogs, they became very codependent animals through this years of breeding and begging, and some of them cannot take care of themselves. Some of them, I was at work and you see this, it's astounding to me. Some people find it fun where they have baby carriages for dogs.
Oh.
Of course, they have the clothes for the dogs, and the cats aren't having it. They're like, cats are, you know, let me outside. I'll get my own dinner. I'll pee and poop where I want.
Yeah.
I'll fend for myself. And, you know.
My mother has a phobia of cats, actually.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's that fear that quickly turns into hatred.
Oh.
It's to a point where she'll be afraid. She'll, like, cry and scream if she's around a cat. But if the cat gets any closer to her than it is when she initially saw it, she will kill that cat if it gets any
goodness
closer.
Yeah. Mm. Does that come from a bad childhood experience?
Yes. So my mom had cats when she was a kid. And a friend of hers brought her cat over to hang out with. They make the cats play together. And it didn't go down like that at all. And I guess there was some sort of disagreement between my mother and her friend. So her friend picked up her cat, the cat that she brought with her, and threw it into my mother's face.
Whoa.
And ended up clawing her up so badly that the stress made her hair fall out.
Oh, my God.
Ironically, she is now a Class A master hairstylist.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But the story doesn't stop there.
Okay.
My grandmother had to rehome the cat that they had, and the neighbor said that they would want to take the cat, but my grandmother didn't trust her. Mm. So the neighbor put antifreeze in the cat's food.
Yep.
Oh, no.
And then, you know, my mom comes home one day and sees this dead cat in front of her house, and it's like, yeah.
That's twisted.
Yeah. Bad story.
Mm. Yes.
We veered away from being useful here.
So yeah.
We're useful. We are very useful.
I think cats are useful. Right. I can give them that.
Cats like, are quite useful, yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Just like certain breeds of dogs, very useful because they've been bred to do certain tasks.
How useful
before
are
they
poodles?
Got poodles? Well, poodles. No, there was a use for poodles. Someone would know that.
It's especially for childless women.
Okay.
You've seen that scenario where the maternal dog instinct has to come out, and it comes out with their dogs.
Yep.
You know, there's it's their baby. That's why you see the dog in a baby carriage. You know, it's like he's being treated like a child because it's part of our natural instincts. You know, plus, with both cats and dogs, it is like I live by myself except for my two cats. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have something else there that, they're pretty good roommates. They pester me for food, but outside of that, we don't really have any arguments.
Right. Nice. I think that's kind of the
sounds
key.
Sounds like a copacetic relationship.
One of the key things with this petdom and worldwide. I get it. People are not nice. People are hard to deal with. People talk a lot. You can't control what they do or say, whereas a dog will bark or a cat meow, but they're not going to say anything like, you're doing this wrong, you didn't clean the bathroom, or that's my side of the bed, stop eating my food, and, you know, all those things, which I actually did a stand-up bit about that. It didn't go much better than it did just now, so.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Plus pets are handy in case of the apocalypse.
Right.
They're a ready food source.
Okay.
Do you mind if I do throw out a... Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
The other white
cat. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Would you mind if I throw out a controversial opinion for a moment?
Sure, yes.
I would like to just make this very clear that the thoughts and opinions contained in the following broadcast show are those of the host and or guest and not the staff or volunteers of WRWK LPFM or the board of directors of Synergy Project.
Okay.
With that being said,
amen. Otherwise, let it rip.
I think cats are dumb.
Oh,
yeah, I'll just be honest with you.
Where's the booth down here?
Well, but they go to the bathroom by themselves. Oh. That's a real advantage. You can leave them all day, and they're not gonna, you know.
I would also like to throw out there that I think dogs are kind of dumb too.
Uh oh. Now we're getting.
I know. It's.
Are they? I mean, can I? Anyone disagree with? They're great. But come on, any cat call? Oh God, I went.
Make sure to call in on the guest line to disagree with me.
Yes, and why do you feel this way about these animals?
Well, from the very little untrustworthy research that I've done about the intelligence of cats is that supposedly they have a memory similar to that of a goldfish, where they have about 5 to 15 seconds worth of retention.
Hmm.
So like. Cat walks up to the edge of like a counter, falls off. Well, it's very likely to do that again because it has no recollection falling off the edge of that counter.
I think most cats would challenge that. But I've seen cats that could find edges for any reason they wanted it. So I think there's a range of cats. So I've had some cats that were like, wow. And I've had cats, we had a Siamese cat so that did amazing things. I mean, just amazing, just put stuff together. A more significant occasion, I was standing beside the cat, and this dog, it was belonging to the neighbors, this big old boxer came down, and the cat was fairly small. Siamese usually was small. But anyway, this dog, I was aghast, this dog opened his mouth and closed it on top of the cat's head. And the cat had to bite the dog's tongue, and the dog spit it out.
She was thinking on its feet, right on.
Distemper eventually brought it down, but it was a cat for the soul.
Distemper. Mm.
Distemper.
I won't lie. I do have a tendency to make statements purely for the inflammatory purposes of just...
You really went on a limb there. Wow.
Yeah.
Saying that animals were not as smart as people. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they may be dumb in some sense, but I think that refers largely to their inability to speak in terms we understand. Mm-hmm. But if you have a dog as a good companion, or even a cat, you'll find them speaking to you in ways that others may not even know.
There are, like, these soundbite apparatuses that people have been putting together, where, like, a dog can go up, hit a button, and says, like, treat, treat, or no, walk, kid. Walk. Yeah. Like, I've seen those videos. They're happening. And, like, there's one where I saw this this one dog. I guess their owners set them up with some auxiliary words. And basically, after they told the dog that he wasn't going to get any more treats, it hit the buttons for F you, mommy.
No. Okay.
It's expressing its displeasure.
If I had a dog, I would not teach that dog.
I wouldn't give him that button for the F you, mom thing. That was their...
Well, there were two different buttons.
Oh, okay.
So it had enough cognitive ability to put together not only a swear word, but the appropriate descriptor for the person that it was trying to interact with.
I wonder the context that led to the swear word being available. Like, if you're really upset, you want to hit them some expression? I mean, they just put on the carpet, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's mitigating acting out like that. Think of it like that. Because if you can tell me that you're not happy, you won't take a dump on my carpet.
Right. There was a YouTube or some video years ago I saw, and it was the dog was trained to respond to the commands and identify all the little stuffed animal dog toys. Oh, and yes. He'd go, bring the mouse, and he'd go get the mouse, and you know, yay, and bring the deer. And so, hey, there's hope for these animals. You know, they go to the right animal school or have the good animal parents.
Go bring me the three-toed sloth.
Hey.
Yeah, remember, if you're out there in the woods and you want to find food, follow the wolf. The wolf.
True that.
The language amongst themselves, they're plain
efficient.
We shouldn't call animals being smart in our terms, because they're just smart and they're,
Right.
Same with cats. A cat that goes out in the woods, eating some of those or wherever. I mean, they're very good practice. And the same is true of other humans in groups that we don't really understand or appreciate, because they grow up in different circumstances. But they have full lives.
Right.
They find meaning. They just do it in ways we don't necessarily recognize or appreciate. But I remember having this conversation with one when I was much younger about the Indians and white settlers coming in and taking the land. That happened during her lifetime in Michigan. She said, well, they weren't using it.
It's a hard argument to make, though, because, like, the definition of use from one person to another, like, utilization can be wholly separately different. From what I understand, when Native Americans first interacted with European settlers trying to make deals for land, property, and ownership, the reason why they got such bad deals is because it was just like,
You want to buy the land?
They didn't have a concept of that you could own.
Yeah.
Why would you want to own the land that we're all using?
Right.
You want to buy this land? Sure, I'll take two seashells for this thing that none of us own.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Give me a gun or a bottle of whiskey. Sure, whatever, fine. This has no meaning to me. This is no...
They didn't have capitalism.
Yeah.
No.
And everything was matriarchal, and it was violent, but, you know, they had different systems that got supplanted by Europeans that forced them to with guns and disease. Disease and wiped them out a lot on the East Coast.
Those proselytizing Christians came along.
Disease is a great litigator.
Religious folks popped in there. That we're going to convert you and make you civilized and live in our way. They're like, of course, we don't want to live in your way. But
well, see, I think that's hopefully something that we're shifting out of is that dominance point of view of, I mean, back then the view was, oh, look at all this land. Nobody owns it, so let's take it. And we've run out of land to do that to. So I think in order for us to survive, especially, I mean, look at the environmental stuff that's going on around the world. It's a warning sign that government and business are largely ignoring or dragging their feet to do anything about. But, I mean, Lahaina, it was burned to the ground. They had a hurricane and an earthquake at the same time in California. There's fires in Greece and Turkey. There were big fires killing kangaroos in Australia a couple years ago. I mean, it's happening all over the place. And of course, we've been breathing the Canadian smoke this summer.
Yeah, that was fun.
And that was, that's the mindset is still like these are rare occurrences. And, when Hawaii burns up, that's the other side of the world. But it's getting closer and it's getting more frequent. The weather patterns are changing. Hurricanes are increasing in power and number. So I think that's what's going to happen to make things change is people will finally... I mean, I'm an environmentalist, but I feel like so often the things that I'm aware of are largely ignored by the mass of the population because it's inconvenient. Especially if you're an adult married with kids, all your time is taken in supporting them and raising your kids and, you know, having food to eat and a roof over your house. There's not a whole lot of time outside of that. And, of course, TV keeps us numb. It is the modern version of bread and circus that the Romans used to keep the population in control.
So I actually have a little bit of a counterpoint to that. Funnily enough, traditional television watching has been officially beaten out by streaming services. There are more people streaming on their phones and on their tablets.
That's accelerated the whole escape mechanism. Binge watching, you know. I didn't grow up with that term.
Didn't exist. You had binge eating, mass quantities, but, you know. Same here.
Little still had marathons.
You know. Yeah, you had, but you could turn it off, and you know, I mean, you can now, but
well, you had to wait until next week for the next episode,
right? But, you know, I had some interesting comment to go in there, but with me, that I think of it, and then the whole topic has moved on to something else. But I was just adding into that one that
environment,
well,
TV,
environment, TV. Well, you know, this is it's just our society has changed so much so quickly from the moment they had phones, iPhones, smartphones, but. Remember when we had earbuds and earphones and someone would listen to something, you know, privately?
Oh, yeah.
They'd go, oh, and now it's just like everyone's just listening out loud to their phones and videos. Like, you go to a restaurant. I did a gig with a friend years ago, and the kids were at the front table playing video games with noises and sound effects and... Oh, that's just normal now. Don't bother the kids.
But
that's mean to the kids. Man, but
it's a babysitter.
Right, right. It's just a change. I know. I'm sure we all notice. Isn't it? Is it a big deal? No.
It's
is
painful.
It different? But yes, it's strange to me. This alien man of 51 years old, where we had rotary phones and phones that were plugged into the wall, and you needed to. Call someone, you'd call them. They wouldn't know who you were. You'd call them. If you didn't reach them, you'd knock on their door. Go, where are you? You okay? That's not how it is anymore, folks.
No,
times have changed.
It's weird because I think about different events in my life and thinking back and trying to remember how we got in touch with people. You know, there was no texting. There was no internet. Phone calls were really the only thing to get in touch with somebody long distance, or a letter. But
you got to really try to write a letter now.
Yeah,
like that's if you really want to let somebody know that you're like I'm not rocking with you anymore, you send them a letter.
Right.
And like, so I've been thinking about my own way to segue into something.
Okay.
And like this is actually a pretty decent. Thing to talk about because like I have a very idealized version of what our Western society used to look like and used to be like and it always comes from a more rural background because I have a rural background and when it comes to how much communication that we have between ourselves now and how easy it is to communicate it seems as though that the idea of escapism is even more prevalent. It's like now there was a time where people would just pop by, you know, there people had welcome mats for a reason because you were actually welcome. They wanted you to come to your house.
Right
now, I go to a friend's house and I knock on the door and they ask me, why didn't you text me?
Right. Right. Why did you text? Why are you calling?
Yeah, is
how
weird.
Dare you call me?
How dare you use this cellular device for cellular reasons?
Right.
And like,
you know what they call dropping by uninvited now in some cases?
What?
Stalking.
Harassment.
Stalking. I was just seeing how you are. No, no, Roger.
Somehow we've all, not we've all, but majority of the younger generations have just fallen into this hole of true escapism.
All right.
It's like, There's a term that the Japanese have, and I'm forgetting what the actual one is, but the one that's more popularly known is NEET. NEET. Okay. Like, yeah, I'm sure there's like actual things for what that acronym stands for, but for the basis of it is someone that is a shut-in, a hermit, lives off of government assistance, and is obsessed with pop culture, and just all they do is eat garbage food and read manga, play video games, and watch TV. That's all they do.
They're far with some advertising.
It's sad. Mm-hmm. And like what this is a hard segue now that I think about it. But there's always been escapism. There's always been some sort of way to get away from things. Like it wasn't just our phones, it used to be magazines. Or I was an avid reader as a child. Like I got kicked out of the library as a punishment for when I would act up. And that's how they punished me, by taking away my ability to read, because it was an escape for me.
Yeah.
Sure. Yep. I used to read a lot as an escape growing up. I mean, fantasy and science fiction, and escape ran in my family, and I think a lot of it for probably most people is related to ancestral trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know of some things that my parents went through that were never enumerated, mm-hmm. talked about, but they had their own escape mechanisms. Mm-hmm. You know, alcohol is a very common one, which my father was involved with to his detriment. But it's because that drugs, alcohol, sex, shopping, TV are all coping mechanisms, because when you go through really rough stuff, you tend to disassociate,
mm-hmm.
Because the trauma of a particular incident, like say the grief of something, is you don't want to feel it. It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But you can't just turn down the grief, mm-hmm. in order to not feel the grief. You also have to not feel all the other feelings. Mm. And so I think people go to this place of disassociation, which is painful, and in some ways I think prolongs suffering. But then, you know, you can kind of alleviate that general suffering, mm. by these behaviors that are escape mechanisms. So that's where I'm really positive for our modern age, because psychology has been more and more integrated into our society as a way for people to be able to deal with stuff. Hey, there, that noise went away, Roger.
It did.
Yeah, the
background. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so anyway.
I guess he's useful for something, right?
That's my spiel.
I didn't know what it was.
But no, that was perfect. Just the alleviating suffering.
Yeah,
I'm just like, checking. I think the wireless mics.
Oh.
Did I mess something up? Whoops.
It was loud.
The wireless mics are not
turn your channel down
correctly.
We were
messing with them and switching to the other thing.
You are? Yeah. No, I don't hear myself anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You and the meter there. And
well,
yeah, we're just falling apart.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm not going to mess with it more here. I was just kind of tinkering away at our sea of snake wires down here.
So is tonight the stream of consciousness show?
It is. Kind of. It turned into the useful discussion that we're going to try to do Friday again, but we're an open book here. We went from 6:10 to now it's 7:30, and I have places to go, exciting places. Cool, but people. Glad to be here. And
let's do a 5-minute wrap.
Gonna do a 5-minute wrap. And I hope he means something else. Ron, I don't want to hear your rap.
Well, I've got 2 minutes, too.
Okay.
Well, what is the rap? What are we doing?
Well, let's just summarize. You can summarize.
Wrap up.
Okay.
Wrap up. Okay.
So if you're willing to let me, sure. I do have this final piece I'd like to share with you all. Okay. And this, it kind of ties into all of what we've kind of gone over today. It's like escapism, alleviating suffering, mm-hmm. Fighting against the expectations that we have of ourselves, fighting against expectations that are put upon us by, you know, parents and societal stuff, and like this transition from this old world to a new one, and the spiritual pitfalls that a person can have on the way through. So this poem's called The Pact. So I'm mm-hmm. obsessed with rural stuff. So, She was an untainted beauty of the holler. She had this pervasive scent of ginger root and burning brush, and with foam white skin and a strawberry thicket atop her head.
A sun smattering of sesame seeds speckled her cheeks and the bridge of her nose. She was an inferno at her best, indiscriminate, untamed, and yet a cigarette burn at her worst, cruel and targeted. Her fire was not one to warm the bones. She burned with a lust for freedom, a passion for the uninhibited, and an obsession with the forbidden. Banned from the lands beyond hand-tilled rows of grain and endless meadow grass, she was a small-town girl with a soul too wide for her dirt road home. One day always felt like no day, and there was no way to break the confines of her pastoral box, and the longer she sat through brimstone-choked passages at the chapel, the more her scalp itched in anticipation for an easy way out. So when the nighttime bonfires came, she danced, and she sang, and she imbibed of holy mountain water till her alabaster cheeks burst with vermilion streaks. Through ritualistic movement, she carved her intentions into the fibers of air that surrounded her, tearing asunder the ancestral obligations that kept her trapped in her one light town against an untenable volition. A covenant with like minds is what she desired. And with the hypnotic swaying of her ash-covered hands, she summoned to her any deity that could grant her the one true wish. A single bag was always packed.
Very nice. 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 And very well said and prepared. Yeah.
So where can we hear you locally? Do you have a regular
stage? So more often than not, if you want to catch me out in the world, I like hanging out at the Reveille. Mondays is the blues jam. Wednesdays is the funk jam. And since I am a blues cat turning a blue, I'm a blues man turning jazz cat. The jazz jams are on Sundays. They all start around 7:30. The jazz jam goes from 7 to 9, and then after that, it's the B-sides. My boy Jack Burns out there holding it down. But the plug for me, where it's all about me, is that the first show that I am going to be having here in Richmond is going to be at the Reveille on November 17th.
All right.
Doors at 7, the music is at 8 at the Reveille on Carey Street. And I'm not going to lie, I got some heavy hitters coming out for this one. I'm going to go down the Rolodex too. I don't care. I got Freddie Gunslinger Lau on the guitar.
Oh, yeah, I know Freddie very well.
I got Chris El Jefe Sclafani on the saxophone.
Yep.
My man's Jonathan 1000 Watt Watson on the trombone. Mr. Ben, the one who knocks Eisenberg on the drums. I got Thomas, the Rhodes Scholar Kehoe on the keys. And you got to throw it out to my boy, New Jack City Burns on the bass, man. We're going to throw it down.
Look forward to that.
Wow. Nice. That's at the Reveille, November 17th. Wow. I just want to check that out.
I just went there last week for my first time. It's an amazing place. It's kind of fancy in its own way, but also kind of retro.
Yeah.
I saw a great jazz band, and a friend of mine performed. But I definitely I'm going to check that out. And thanks for mentioning the different nights, because the jazz band that played there was amazing. I mean, these cats were like college professors in jazz.
Probably the Brotherhood, Michael Hawkins.
Okay.
Yeah,
yep.
That's a man. That's the man.
Yeah. I want to check out that place. I'm just, you know, I heard there are these jams. Another guy, Paul, from our network was asking me, when are the Reveille jams? So we've come to the right source here with Eric. I'm going to get up with you after to remind me of the jam schedule at the Reveille, because I'm going to try to check that out. I did want to end with a little thing called promotion, which I actually am kind of good at, so I'm just going to ramble about our stuff here. You know, it's Thursday, we have another, Thursday, who do we have? We'll get back to that. It's on Facebook, Thursday. Great, so I was pretty good at that. But I wanted to mention the...
James Dowdy.
James is
my
Thursday.
My friend, I forgot his name.
Is he this Thursday? I believe Might be next.
Oh, he's staying at my place.
Oh, okay. He's gonna be here. Okay, yeah. The following Thursday. Okay. That's an open book. We don't know what's going on then, but this Thursday, James Dowdy, very well associated with Eric, has helped us out. But we do have, and I am certain of this, our benefit, the second annual Jam to Be Useful on this Saturday, August 26th, starting at 6 p.m. at Bryan Park Bar and Grill, which is at 5518 Lakeside Avenue. It's going to 11 p.m. We have the Ham Biscuits at 6 to 7, the Soul Strangers 7 to 8, Lakeside Philharmonic 8 to 9, the Folly 9 to 10 p.m., Half Step High from 10 to 11 p.m. And we promoted the S out of it, the H out of it, for the past few months, and we hope you can come out. They're going to have special drink special for us if you donate to the work. Ron's going to be at the front greeting you, and we'll have a booth in the back where you can sign up to get involved, donate. We need your support, your funds, your extra old or new audio gear, your participation like we have here with our guests coming in, helping us out, running the board or being interesting guests or running your own show. So again, we hope you come out to that Saturday at Bryan Park Bar and Grill, the second annual Work FM Jam. To be anyone, Ron? What is it, the jam to be?
Yeah, to be useful.
Useful. To be useful. There you go. Yeah. Ron's moniker that he wishes he never said
the
to me.
Yeah.
I'm always saying, we're useful. We're useful. I didn't say that for that to be like that. But
well, no, you can misuse my words all you want. Just spell my name.
Right.
They can say something like that.
Any last words from anyone else? Anyone? Jay? Got anything for us? No?
I got one. It's
okay,
just a little plug.
Eric. Yep. Go ahead.
If anybody, if you like wine,
oh,
come talk to me. Yeah, I do private wine tastings with a company called All About the Grapes with a lovely young lady named Jana Powell. Look us up online. Give us a call. That's all I got for you.
All right.
Yeah. Don't forget to look up RogerKohlerMusic.bandcamp.com and check us out theworkfm.org. We are in the process of revamping our website, and we're on Facebook, usually The Work FM, and YouTube live as The Work FM, and on the air here, 93.9 FM. You can call in or drop by for a friendly visit, see what's going on. And with that, we're going to pop back into the loop. First, we're going to give you a commentary of how this fun system works. So I'm going to go back to our StreamYard session. There we are. We're going to pop out of that, folks.
Can't even see Ron.
Yep.
No.
We're going to end the broadcast of the video going to YouTube. Yep. And leave that. So now we are just on the airwaves, and we're going to pop over to our Audacious Loop, and we're going to say the first 5.5 minutes of a show called Pandemic and Profit, a national radio project, which we're going to just jump into very slowly and quietly. And here we go. We are going to go off here. And hope you enjoyed what we were doing, and tune in again.
Arrivederci. Au revoir.